Welcome to Android App Addicts, episode number 256. This is the show where we talk about Android applications. A bunch of guys bring in a bunch of apps, and every once in a while we throw a developer in there and we ask him questions about being a developer. And that is what's going to happen in this show. We love having developers on our show. Developers are changing the face of the world in so many ways. They make the apps that basically consume slash help slash assist our lives. So let me introduce the co-host and we'll get into the developer of the day. Now, before we get into the co-host, you guys have probably waited for this day for 3 weeks. Probably couldn't sleep. Probably was on your mind, sitting up anxious all night. Because this is the day we're giving away a Sony Smartwatch 2 to a lucky the way to enter the contest is all you had to do is go to podnuts.com/AAA club and sign up for the Podnuts Club or the AA Club. So we have a bunch of guys who did that, and we're going to pick a random one at the end of this show to win the prize. But let's start off by introducing the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin from podnuts.com. What's up, Dor?
Big Steve. I'm happy. The temperature up here is starting to go down a little bit because I'm a little, you know, fluffy.
You're a little fluffy.
Well, that's what I keep telling my wife. I said, no, I'm just fluffy.
Good for you, man. Not everybody can be fluffy.
Nope.
Also joining us, Cody Cooper, subbing in for Eric tonight, the Codester. What's going on, Cody?
Hey, man. I'm doing good. I just, I wasn't even going to get him on, but I heard some smack talking from Ardini. A couple weeks back, I thought I better get on there and correct it. And then sure enough, I show up, he chickens out. So what's up, manager?
Dude, you instill fear. What could we say?
I'm quite the presence.
No doubt.
You have presence? What do I get?
Yeah. For those of you who don't know Dor, he only hears what he wants to hear.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Just look at Cody's webcam. There's all kinds of presents in the background. Looks like he was digging through it.
Oh, yeah. Come on over, guys. It's a grab bag. You just have to take it all.
Cool, man. Thanks for coming on, Cody.
Oh, anytime.
And also joining us, our special developer guest for the week, Brian Duke. His developer name is Acceleroto. He's the developer of a game Dor brought a few weeks back called Unpossible, which I think is the best invented word I've ever heard. And also, he also created Invasion Strike and Die in a Fire. Brian, thanks for coming on the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. And yeah. I'm scared of Cody's presence, by the way. I'll just put that out there.
Tell us about yourself, man, and about your company.
Hey, so I started my company about 6 years ago, and my first game was actually over on the other side. Game called Air Hockey. It did really, really well and is still doing well. It's, as you might imagine, touch device. People like to play little touch things, and it's one of them. So did that, released a bunch of games on a bunch of different platforms, had the first paid game or the first paid app on the Palm Pre, so put that in your resume and smoke it. Whole bunch of other stuff, and then Unpossible is my latest game. It came out on the other platform a couple of months ago, and then Android, both on Play and Amazon, about a month ago. So that's kind of the short story.
Don't you love how Brian respects the platform by saying the other platform?
The other platform. That's so weird. I've never met a Windows Mobile developer before.
it's Windows Mobile's amazing, but
that's awesome.
I say that with all respect.
Well, what is amazing is Unpossible. I'm just curious how you make such a beautiful game. Like, what? How does this come out of your mind?
The game actually started a couple years ago. I'll quit saying the other on iOS. One of my first kind of early favorite games was called Boost 3D. I don't know if you guys have played that, but it's a tunnel riding, tube riding, great kind of dodging game. Really had a blast with it. And then I kind of wanted to do one, but that was great. And it didn't make sense for me to do one because I thought that one was awesome and it was killing it. But I started after playing the game Nuts from Limbic. I said, all right, I have to do my own spin on this kind of thing. And Nuts is a similar kind of game. It's, you're a squirrel running up a tree, dodging branches, that kind of thing. And so I said, I need to do this. I want to do it sci-fi. So I started in about 2012, and it was just very part-time, just kind of prototyping back and forth. And I'd always wanted to work with the artist Michael Held, who runs the website Fully Illustrated. That's his company over in the UK. And he does absolutely amazing work. And he had posted on Twitter somewhere else that he really wanted to do a sci-fi game. And I talked to him a couple of times about doing some other games, and I pinged him on this one and said, hey dude, I'd really like to work with you on this game. And I sent him a prototype. I sent him my game description document, that kind of stuff. And Cody is killing it over there with the drink. rock on. Anyway, so I sent him all that stuff, and you know, and I had just developer art, kind of cheesemo cubes and that kind of thing for the game. And he sent back and said, "I have to do this, and it's going to be awesome." So he, you know, we went back and forth and on some ideas and that kind of thing, and he basically said, "I got it." So he went away and came back a little while later with the first of the concept art. He drew some of the obstacles. He drew kind of a main scene for the game, and I just, you know, immediately went, "Wow, this is exactly what I want. Let's do it." And so implementing his concept art and all that stuff was a good challenge, but it was great to do. And you know, to make it run and run fast on mobile and all that stuff was fun work. And you couldn't do everything that he wanted, of course, but I think it turned out all right. And so that's kind of the history of where the look came from. But it's definitely, I think it's gorgeous. I really, really like the game. So not to toot it too much, but I'm a big fan of how it looks, and that in great part has to do with his art direction. We also used Mike Berg as another artist on the game. So both of those guys I hired kind of freelance, and they were just great together. So Mike Berg did a bunch of the 3D art. He did a bunch of the extra UI stuff. Mike Held, the art director on it, did a bunch of the initial UI, the main menu, and some of the other stuff, and then the general layout, the textures for textures for the track, textures for and color choices for the obstacles, all that kind of stuff. So that's, there you go.
That's awesome. You know, it's one of the only games where you run on the outside of a tube.
Sure. Well, there's been a lot. Cool. It's definitely not the only one. There have been, you know, like F-Zero, there's games over, you know, history where it's definitely not new, but I think it's a good spin on that genre, if you will. Yep. It's not like first-person shooters where there's a million of them, but I think there's enough similar-ish kind of games where it's kind of a runner, kind of a racer.
It's very Tron meets Wipeout.
Sure, right? Yeah, that's a good way to do it. So
yep.
So that's kind of the, you know, that's yeah, exactly. So that's kind of that. But I mean, as far as, you know, gameplay, I really like Boost, but I didn't feel that was the perfect gameplay progression and that kind of thing. I didn't really feel the sense of accomplishment that I wanted out of my game when I played that. I really enjoyed it and I kept coming back to it, but it didn't have a great big hook for me, even though I really loved it. And Nuts, like I said, really turned me on to that genre again. And then, and honestly, when Super Hexagon came out was when I went, okay, I got it. This is what I have to do. So I kind of mashed up all that. And there were some other kind of tube racers that were coming out at the same time. This one, I think, is the only one that kind of looks like this. So, except for the direct clone ripoff copies that showed up, but
we have
those gone now. So, yeah. Those, it's funny. There was one of those that showed up even before my game hit the store. So, so it's they move fast. But anyway, so that's So what else?
Well, I gotta say this.
Yes.
A, the name Unpossible.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, like I said in the show, beautiful SEO built into the name.
It's, you know, it has been, right? Because there, it, you know, it's, there's no, there's a million things that come up with impossible, but if you search for Unpossible, it's the only one.
Well, right. And well,
does Google try to correct you when you type it? Sorry, Dora.
You know, I don't know. It doesn't on my computer anymore, but I've been typing Unpossible for years. Right. So I don't know. And it, you know, it wasn't me that made up the word, if you call it a word, there's actually some online references that say that was actually a used word back in the 1400s. So, I don't know if that's true or not, but you know, it's online, so it probably is. So, but obviously it's not now, but somebody told me also, and I'll get flamed for this, but that if you go in to France, apparently when they speak English, they use impossible. So I don't, well, instead of impossible, I don't know if that's real or not, but we'll go with it. And yeah. But not that I'm saying this is a French game, but it works great for the name, I think.
And I don't think any of us on the show are going to France anytime soon. So I think we're okay.
I don't plan on it.
But I mean, the name Impossible, number one, I think is really one of those unknown genius things that just worked out perfectly. But two, it looks like Tron. That's a win. Three, simple color pattern, yet beautiful, sure, which I think adds a lot of aesthetics to it. But here's the real kicker to me. My son has a $60 or so Android tablet. This thing runs like gold on that tablet. I mean, absolute gold. And now here to me is the real hidden gem that I didn't realize, because I just load the game and hit play and I just play. Right. My youngest son, who's six, figured out cruise mode. Yep. He just turned on cruise mode, which means you can't die, but you can have a lot of fun, and just sat there and giggled for about 40 minutes straight going, woohoo, yeah. Perfect. Yeah, he just awesome. Absolutely loved it. And of course, my oldest son was like, when do I get to play? He never does. Right. I was like, oh, I don't know.
That's good to hear. I have a 2-year-old twins, and they like cruise mode too. So it's pretty, that's pretty cool there. That, you know, that was, one of the things, not to critique other people's games, but I'm going to do it anyway. One of the things that I didn't like about Super Hexagon was that it seemed so not approachable by kind of the average Joe.
Right.
And that's, you know, so I felt it really catered, you know, incredibly to kind of the hardcore crowd. But it turned off me when I first played it. The only reason I went back to that game was I had a bunch of other friends who said, you know, dude, I scored, you know, 60 seconds. Yes. So what I wanted to do was make sure that my game started out easy and started out where people felt like they could do it, where you didn't die in 2 seconds the first game or the first 100 games you had. And then on top of that, so that was kind of where simplicity, the first level in the real game came from, was that kind of goal. And that was really designed so that people could beat it in about the first two or three tries for kind of an average gamer. And then somebody who hadn't played before could probably pound their way through it, you know, in a long session or over a couple of days, and then move on. And then Cruise was just a chill mode. I mean, I've seen people at conferences have their game in like a demo mode, you know, hanging as a necklace or on a stand or something, and I wanted something like that where people could just have it and either chill and just look at it, or they could, you know, mess around and practice the maneuvers and that kind of stuff. But there's definitely a crowd that likes that, even though that's not, cruise mode is not a game. It's just a fun little toy, essentially.
Right. Yeah. Now I'm not terribly versed on back-end engines for game design, but is there a specific engine that you use? Because what I'm guessing is you didn't do a complete source port, one for iOS, one for Android, but I'm going to guess there was some cross.
No, it's cool. So I made it in Unity. I've been using Unity for, well, since version 2.6, so whenever that was on the way out was when I bought Unity. And so this is built in Unity, which worked out great. I really, really like working in Unity. I mean, every game engine has its pluses and minuses. For me, I'm a really small shop. You know, I hire freelance people for art and music and sound, and the company is me and my wife. So I do all the coding. She does all the finance work and business end, contracting, legal stuff, and I pound the code and do the game design and work with all the people. And so what a game engine gets me is the ability to actually finish a project instead of actually, you know, spending all my time working on making sure my polys are in the right place and that kind of stuff. So, and then it lets me do things like move it to other platforms. I mean, we talked before the show started about this, but, you know, Impossible started on the other platform, and then it is now on Android as of about a month ago. Steam is going to be next. So it's going to be out on PC, Mac, and Linux. And it's made it through Greenlight. It made it through Greenlight in 3 weeks, which is pretty sweet, I think.
That's so fast. That's very
right.
Fast.
So I was really, really happy about that, and still really happy about that. Greenlight is So Steam, are you familiar with Steam? Just for your, for the listeners, if you're not familiar with Steam, Steam is basically an app store for games, primarily for the PC, Mac, and Linux. It's run by Valve, which is a company that does all kinds of other games. But they, so they have their own app store, and it's very curated, and Greenlight is the way to get in as a small, unknown-ish kind of game or developer, and you're basically voted on the island, if you will, and then... So the company Valve looks at who is getting lots of votes and who's got lots of traction and people are responding to, and then they, based on whatever they decide on, they pick so many games a month to bring on. So you basically, and that process is called Greenlight. So you get invited in, and that got invited in for Impossible a couple of months ago, and then Impossible is also coming to some consoles after that, so that'll be great. And all of that is thanks to Unity, essentially. So curse a game engine developers will probably do from time to time, but there's a whole lot of greatness that comes from using it. I've been really happy with Unity, so that's what I use.
Awesome, man. Very cool stuff. Cody, you got any questions for Brian?
I just want to say I love this style of game. Great. This was like I said, I was thinking, Tron crossed with Wipeout, and
sure, right.
I love how fluid it is, because I've tried it on three devices, a Nexus 7 2012,
mm-hmm.
An HTC One M7, and then my Nexus 5.
Okay.
And even though those are all pretty high end, even Dora was saying at a lower end, like $60 Android tablet, and it ran really well too. So, and I seem to see a lot of fluidity with the Unity engine in that. In fact, it is that it doesn't require really, really high end hardware to run really smooth. So I commend you on that. But yeah,
sure,
you're hitting the nail on the head when you're talking about these type of games, the quote unquote run games, where you're going mm-hmm. from A to B, wherever sure. B is the farthest distance you can go. Some of them are just beat you down right off the bat, like 3 seconds in, you're just like, what happened? And this gets progressively faster and more intricate as you go. So I really, really dug that aspect. And that cool. really does speak to your acumen when making the correct adjustments to the difficulty of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, overall, a very, very big fan.
Cool, thank you. If there's still time, that was some of the stuff also I wanted. I kind of took from all kinds of different game design, but it's not just a, like you said, not just pound your way through or get pounded by it, but, I wanted there to be stuff where, you had to memorize things. I wanted you to have to learn mm-hmm. things. I wanted you to realize, hey, I messed that up here, and work your way through with either trial and error or just brute force, or, talking to your friends and kind of mix all that up. And there's definite, stages of difficulty in the game, mm-hmm. even within the specific levels. It's in feudal or futile, however you decide to say that, which is kind of the middle level, kind of the core level of the game. There's, it's really tough to get past about 20, 25 seconds for the, until you get there. And then once you get there, you actually progress pretty quickly until you get to about 40 or 45 seconds. And then there's another wall. And so there's definite, I designed in, that you have to learn and you have to practice and get better. So it's some, hand eye, it's some memory, it's some learning, it's some, regurgitation.
Some muscle memory. Stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was, I'm sure some of it is, I'm sure a lot of it is I got lucky, right? But I spent a lot of time on the level design. I mean, getting the very first prototype playable in Unity was only a couple hours. But getting the levels really, really tweaked out was months and months of work and feedback from people and that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of a lot that went into it, I guess.
Yeah, I'll say my son, and I'm not letting out any secrets here, but when my son figured out he liked being outside of the circles rather than mm-hmm. inside the circle because it gave him more room to wiggle, he felt he was a genius. He was right. so happy at that. And and when he made it to a feudal, it took him about 20 minutes of playing till he got to around 40 seconds. Once he got to 40 seconds, he just kept telling me how this is awesome, Dad. You got to watch this. Why? And then he kept saying, now, oh, okay, now are you ready? And now watch. And then he would like jump out of the circles. And I was like, dude, you're getting pretty good at this. I'm starting to get scared about, you know, you're going to start competing with old Dad here.
There you go.
But here's a stupid question. When I play a lot of these games, to me, it's pretty obvious how much polish is involved in the game.
Okay.
And with this game, it was fairly obvious after literally 15, 20 seconds. Okay, this is pretty polished. How long have you been doing game design? Because this to me looked like, I don't want to say an expert, I don't want, you know, but it looked pretty high level.
So I have been, I guess if I can expand that to a bigger question, I've been doing software coding for probably 30 years. So quite a while. And then I was thinking about this when I was driving home. I have a day job too, but I was driving home from work today thinking, you know, when was the first public product I released? And I think, I'm pretty sure it was my own mod of the POV ray tracer about 20 years ago. It was called POV AFX 32. It was the first 32-bit version of POV that did glow effects and those kind of things. So that, I think, was the first kind of release of a software product I did where kind of the masses got it. But as far as games, you know, I've kind of made stuff on my own on the side, but never really released anything until about 6 years ago. So my user base was very small until about 6 years ago. And then since then I've been accruing players as rapidly as I can. Right. But it's, not that that's the goal, but I've been trying to make the games I want to play. I haven't really, concentrated on knocking one out of the park as far as you know, hey, my entire goal is to just make money at this. Obviously it's a business, so that's a part of it. You have to, you know, make money to make your time worthwhile. And, you know, any time I spend coding is spent time I don't get to spend with my kids, which is, you know, that's important too. So, so it's all a trade-off, but really the last 6 years have been the big push in game design. So that's kind of it. And I've done some work on games that, in fact, I have a lot of games that have never released, and I have games that don't have my name on them. But it's, you know, it's been fun. It's been good. It's a lot of good learning. I try to learn as much as I can. I read quite a bit, and most of that is with podcast or audiobooks kind of stuff. And then I really try to pay attention and spend a lot of time learning from other people's games, and especially other people's mistakes. So if there's games that do well or that look gorgeous but maybe they don't play that well, I really spend a lot of time trying to dissect why. And for mobile, I really try to spend a lot of time on about the first 5 minutes of the experience to make sure that, you know, that's a really inviting kind of thing, because that's when you're going to lose people.
Another thing I really like that you've implemented in there is the fact that you have the two different control schematics.
Sure.
You can use the accelerometer,
mm-hmm.
or you can do the left and right tap in order to rotate clockwise or counterclockwise.
Yep.
So literally, if you get really, really good at one, you can explore the game in an entirely new way by just switching up the control scheme.
Yeah, you can. Cool. And those, if I can geek out a little bit, my background is actually aerospace engineering. So some controls work and that kind of stuff, like flight control kind of stuff, whatever. But anyway, and so the two different control schemes are their own full up Kalman filter, you know, magic sauce, essentially, that I tweaked specifically for each of those for different, you know, for touch response, for good fluid tilt response, where you can get both quick response and precise, which I think you have to get in this game. I'm a tilt guy. I really like tilt because I think it gives me more precision. But most people prefer touch. So that's, I wanted to make sure that was good too. And then if you connect a controller to it, you know, there's a good chunk of controllers available for both iOS, Android, and, you know, Fire TV, for example, it works with a controller, so you could play it with a controller too. So, and there's actually an Oculus Rift version of it too, so you could you know, plug in your so you can plug your Xbox controller into your computter, put your Oculus Rift on, and then go. So
I would fall over.
Right. Well, Oculus featured it on their new front page kind of thing on their share site. It's share.oculusvr.com. But so it was on the front page when it first came out, which may just be every game is on the front page. I'm not sure. But if you look at the page there for Unpossible, it says, you know, this is meant for experienced VR users only. So it's definitely an experience, right? So there's a lot of motion. There's a lot of stuff flying by. It's really fast, and it's a pretty immersive, intense game on the Rift. But jeez, I really love it on the Rift. It's a lot of fun.
Wow. I don't believe a word of that until you send us the developer kit with the prototype door. Make sure he gets that address.
I'll send it your way.
Well, okay, right. Here's the thing I'm going to shoot with y'all, and I'm going to be very honest.
Okay.
This is not my style of game.
Sure.
In fact, I kind of despise this style
sure.
of game. Because, and here's my logic. Most of the time, the tilt controls are done almost horribly, where right. they seem slow, laggy, like
I agree.
Muddy.
Yep,
with
I
this
agree.
Game, I didn't even look at the controls. I just hit play, and the very first time I said, oh, this is tilt. And I was deathly shocked about how quick I was able to, I felt ninja like in spin straight. I thought this is really working good. And that was when I said to myself, I gotta let my son play this.
That's awesome.
Just because of that. And I'm typically not a fan of these things because
sure.
I hate going through levels, getting stars where it's very plain levels that just mm-hmm. get ridiculously fast to where they, you know, what's the point of playing them? Or the levels get just so hard at such a fast rate. What's the point of playing them? I don't like, you know, bouncing through pipes. I don't sure. like games that make me aggravated. I don't want to get upset
right.
at the game.
Sure.
This game to me was a very good blend of enjoyment, visual graphics, and usually learning. I just look at like slowly educating the user
sure.
on doing the stuff right. And
right.
that's what I think that you hit.
Thanks.
And I got to say, we were talking to the last developer on the show. I'm shocked. I am definitely shocked. I swore to myself, this guy lives in a mansion on a beach, has billions of dollars in the bank because he's only selling this for $1.99. I be quite frankly honest, I didn't expect this quality of game for $1.99. I was genuinely shocked. And that's why I really do encourage people to go get this game, because if I was you, I would bump it up a little bit.
Well, thanks. Going paid was a tough decision because the bulk of the market and the bulk of the revenue and all that stuff is free to play. But, you know, I mean, like I said earlier, I try to make games that I want to play, and this was that. So I spent a lot of time on this, and when I went to the point where, you know, hey, what am I actually going to do to, you know, get back the development cost and that kind of thing out of the game? It's, there was no way in what I wanted with the game to, you know, add stars and coins and power ups that you would have to pay for and extra lives and all that wouldn't break what I wanted with the game. And so the only way for me to get the game out the door with exactly the core gameplay I wanted was to make it straight up paid. There's no IP in it. It's straight away what you get, and it's right to the game. So that was definitely a consideration I had, and that's
well,
where I ended up.
Well, how have sales been?
They've been really good. So, you know, you can see on the play side, it shows you the range, and on the Play Store right now, it says between 10,000 and 50,000. So it's, mm-hmm. it's within that. I can tell you there are something about 1 million users in China that have all pirated the game. So that's a stat I can share that I've made $0 on.
That's harsh.
And it's pretty cool to see it get that much of a spread, but it's, you know, whatever. That's part of the deal it hasn't been featured on Play or Amazon, but I'm hopeful. It did get featured pretty heavily on iOS. So kind of like Mike talked last week with Bic, it's the sales have been much better on iOS. But I haven't been out as long on Play and Amazon either. So
gotcha.
So it's you know, the first month was strong. It was stronger than I thought. It was not as strong as the iPhone side, But I had a target figure that I'm not going to share that I had kind of hoped between the two Android stores that I've released on, and it's done better than that already. So it's definitely worth me doing, and I'm really happy to have the extra players and extra people playing it. So it's been great. I mean, the game, you know, a couple weeks ago it was the Starbucks pick of the week. So on the iPhone side, they gave. We'll just say a lot of promo codes away, which is really cool. And so it's gotten lots of good press and that kind of stuff. And there's lots of players, which is really just, it's really fun and really rewarding for me. It's just great.
Oh, yeah. I can just imagine that sales, downloads are going to keep going up on this game for a while.
I hope so. I mean, especially as I move to other platforms and keep pushing it. I haven't really done any marketing on the Android side yet. So I probably should have been doing that already, but I haven't. I just haven't had time. We just moved, honestly, to a new house this last month, so I literally didn't have time. So I released it when the Packers were at my house. So anyway, that's to my mansion in Malibu, as you said, right? So just kidding. Anyway, so that's cool. So I haven't spent a ton of time really pushing the Google Play version, but I hope to do more of that, and it's been really great so far.
Good. Well, I hope we could kind of help with that.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah. Well, thank you, man, for coming on the show and sharing about this app.
Yeah, absolutely.
We love talking.
One other thing real quick. Sorry. I also wanted to thank you from the bottom of my heart, because this is something that I've never heard brought up on this show, but I work with a lot of games, I'll say that, and I'll say that especially today, most modern games, even mobile games, you see a lot of beginning tutorial levels, like, hey, sure, this is how you do this.
Oh, right.
And I love the fact that literally I hit play, and after I selected my control scheme, in it.
Right.
And that's it.
Right.
And you give such respect to the player,
sure,
by that, because it's instead of having, like a little fairy, dance around the screen. Hey, by the way, if you tilt to the left, you tilt to the left, and you tilt to the right.
Exactly right. Well, if I could get your voice to have the little dancing fairy, then I might add that, but... well, thanks. That was kind of a design point too for me, was I wanted to get people right in the game and teach them by playing. So that's kind of what I did with the level design and stuff. So thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Well, before you go, Brian, we need you for one last thing.
I'm here. Ready.
As we mentioned in the beginning of the show, we are giving away a Sony Smartwatch 2 in about a minute.
Awesome.
What we're going to basically be doing... Well, for those of you who don't know how to enter, you just go to podnuts.com/AAClub. Fill out your name and email address. It's that easy. It's super simple. Plus, you're part of the club. You could watch our live feed. You get all kinds of perks. Dor and Eric are throwing deals into the AA Club Google Plus community and through email all the time. So it's really worthwhile. Anyway, for those of you who did sign up, thank you very much for signing up. And now it's time to get rewarded. So... Dor, how many entrants do we have to pick from?
We have, at this point in time, 222 contestants.
Beautiful. Wow. Brian,
yes.
Pick a number between 1 and 222.
Oh, boy. That's a good one. Let's go. 1 and 222.
Pick my number, Brian, whatever number that is.
So your number, Cody, is 43.
Dor, who's number 43?
That is a very good number. Winner is E.S. Williams from Tennessee.
Nice.
All right. Tennessee, man. That rocks.
Hey, all right.
I mean, if I had to pick a state to send this to, I would have chose Tennessee myself. So well, I'm glad it was him.
They have all the gold, so why not ship them a smart
And whiskey, too, right?
And whiskey.
So congratulations, E.S., please send us an email at aaa@podnuts.com. That's aaa@podnuts.com to claim your prize. Let us know your address, and we'll ship it right out to you. Thanks, man. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for signing up for that.
Well, I had one more thing, too.
Yeah.
Brian, I just want to really quickly highlight his other apps. This is not a one-trick pony guy we have here. He has other stuff.
I was going to ask him that, too.
Oh, sorry.
But you guys all seem to just love this app so much. Didn't want to talk about any of the other apps. So, did you want to tell us about any of the other apps, Brian?
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of talked about air hockey first. So that is unfortunately not out on on any Android store. I really need to get it there. That actually is out on Windows, so watch out for that. I made an endless runner, side-scrolling endless runner, 3 or 4 years ago called Rush City. Little alien running top to top of buildings, as you might expect. And I have another game called Invasion Strike, which actually I made in a fit of, I'm upset that I didn't get to go to GDC. So instead of going to GDC, I'm going to sit in my office and make a game this week. So that the original version of that game was made in about 30 hours. I threw that out there, and it's that is the free version of that is on Play also. Some odds and ends. I made a game called Akuro, which is a Latin word, probably pronounced Akuro, but a Latin word for roughly attack is kind of roughly what it means, and it's kind of a space, probably could call it a Geometry Wars-ish kind of game, but it's a real simple kind of top-down space shooter in kind of a field. So I've got a couple of apps for kids. I have an app I made called GPS Location, which I made when I was camping out in the middle of nowhere with a telescope, and my telescope has a computer in it, and I needed my coordinates, and I forgot my GPS, and so I sat down and made an app that spit out the coordinates and then sold it. So actually, it's still selling pretty well. So those are kind of probably the ones that are still out and available. Not all of those are on all the platforms. There's actually, there is one on the Play Store that that I made for the Flappy Jam, if you're familiar with that, called Die in a Fire. And that's, as you might imagine, for a Flappy Jam game, it's a Flappy-like, and it's a dragon flying through flaming pillars, and you die in a fire when you
died. So now, Flappy Jam, what was that?
It was a game jam that kind of stood up when Flappy Bird got taken down, or Dong decided to take it down, and so a bunch of developers, like it or not, said, you know what, we're going to make games like that, and I did one in about a day, I think, and that was my game. So
I didn't see that. I was reading the reviews, and Elias Miles says, 1 star. You could not come up with a better name. Not cool.
Dude, the name is Die in a Fire. How is that not a cool name?
I thought it was a hilarious name. So Elias needs to get a sense of humor.
Yeah, it was just a fun kind of a weekend project kind of game. But anyway, so that's some of the stuff that's kind of out still.
Cool.
But you can go to acceleroto.com or search for Acceleroto or Unpossible is probably the easier one to remember on either iOS or Play or Amazon or Oculus Rift or coming up on Steam and some other stuff.
Awesomeness. Dude, you rock. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks. My pleasure.
Absolutely. Now, anybody who is sad that they didn't win the Smartwatch 2, don't worry.
Don't worry.
Like we said, that is just the beginning. At the beginning of next show, we're going to announce our next contest. So that's in 2 days. This next contest is just as awesome, just as huge, and we're going to go over the rules then. So tune in to next show. Find out if you could win. It's going to be super easy to enter. Don't even worry about it. Just do it. So we'll talk to you guys in the next show. That's going to be it for Android App Addicts for today. See you next time.